Welcome to Press Pause, the under 10-minute family worship podcast designed to help you, dads, moms, grandparents, and guardians share big truths about Jesus with your family. I'm your host, Jared, and I'm here with my friends, Kevin.
What's up, Jared?
And Trey.
How's it going, guys?
Whether you're a young parent taking your first steps in discipling your child, or you're a seasoned pro who's already got weekly devotional rhythms in place, this podcast is for you. And it couldn't be easier to use. Just listen along with your family and be ready to press pause at the end of the episode to talk about this week's big truth with your kids. Let's begin with a question. Guys, can you tell me a time when you experienced someone's generosity toward you? What about you, Trey?
Yeah, there was a time when my wife and I, Annie, were newly married, doing seminary and living on love. She'd finished up law school, but did not have like a real job yet. She was working at the mall, I think like at Godiva and some other clothing place. I don't know. She was doing that. I was doing school and kind of working part time in the library there. And then kind of over the holidays, we were unsure how we were going to pay for a particular bill. And then the lady that I worked for at the library just randomly gave me a Christmas card with a big fat check, like a personal check, just like not like a, hey, this is from the seminary check, but just a thanks for being nice, I guess. I don't know. So it was just like this really unexpected blessing from a lady I did not expect to be blessed by, if that makes sense. So anyway, just a crazy story of God's provision and his grace and her generosity towards someone that she did not know all that well. I was just a dude who worked in a library and folded boxes so that we could put books in them. So yeah, it was cool.
That's great.
Well, for me, this happened recently. It's for our family. So unfortunately, a few weeks ago, somebody broke into my wife's car overnight, but our kind neighbors, Mr. and Miss Terry, they offered their spare car for my wife to use while her car is being repaired. So
Lambo?
No. Maserati? No. No. Yeah, that was really a blessing for our family.
And that's so awesome.
Thank you, Mr. and Miss Terry.
Shout out.
That's awesome. Mine is a early years in ministry story too, Trey. First few years in the pastorate, we were saving money by having one car, and I was riding the bus to work every week. Shout out to Louisville Tark. And yeah, I would wake up at the corner near my house at the bus stop, and one day it just started pouring down rain at that moment. And Miss Barbara Gentry, who was one of our neighbors, saw me there and pulled over, picked me up, and took me down to work. And it was just, it was a moment of compassion.
What a hero.
That's awesome. That.
I so, need a hero.
It's a beautiful thing. All right. Now that we've talked about how folks have shown generosity toward us, Trey, can you tell us about this week's big question and answer?
Of course. The big question for today is, why does God tell us you shall not steal? And the answer is so we will not take what belongs to others, but instead desire to give. One more time, why does God tell us in Exodus 20:15, you shall not steal? So we will not take what belongs to others, but instead desire to give.
Excellent. Trey, where can we learn about that in the Bible?
Well, we see several commands against stealing in God's law. Leviticus 19:11 says, you shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another. Verse 13 continues with, you shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired worker shall not remain with you all night until the morning. The Bible tells us there that there are different ways we can steal from one another. Stealing in all its forms is a reflection of the hate we have toward our neighbor and how we're not happy with what God has given us. Instead, we need to reflect God's love and his generosity.
That's right. In the New Testament, Paul reminds the church to put off their old self and put on their new self. That means to turn from your old sinful way of living and live the new way Jesus has called us to live. In Ephesians 4, verse 28, he specifically calls out those who have been stealing. Paul said, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, so that they may have something to share with those in need. Now that they are followers of Jesus, they're called to no longer make money in a dishonest way like stealing, but instead to live a life of generosity. Kevin, can you tell us a little more about that?
Yes, I can. In The Legend of Zelda, Link's Awakening, any Zelda fans here?
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 right, for sure.
All right. We see that stealing isn't taken too lightly, even for a game. In Mabe Village, there is a town tool shop where you can buy items you need to help you along your journey. However, some of you kids may know already, it is possible to steal items from the store instead of paying for them. But there are consequences. If you dare re-enter the tool shop, the store owner will punish you for your thievery, and then you lose the game. But if you decide to steal and just keep it moving, as soon as you exit the store, your name on the screen changes to Thief. So now everyone in the village knows you as a thief, and they know you're a thief, and they call you by your new name for the rest of the game.
Whew, some heavy consequences.
Yes. And so in Luke chapter 19, we learn about a tax collector named Zacchaeus who can relate to being notorious for stealing from others. Zacchaeus, we'll call him Zac for short, was a rich man who had the job of chief tax collector. So the people of Jericho had to make regular payments to the Roman Empire since the Romans had control over the land. So Zac's job was to collect the money. However, like many tax collectors, Zac was dishonest. He cheated people by making them pay more than what they really owed, and he kept the extra money. Zac was stealing, breaking the eighth commandment. He took what belonged to others and kept it for himself. He abused his position to cheat, oppress, and take what wasn't his. The Bible warns that those who steal will not enter God's kingdom. So, of course, the people of Jericho despised Zac and wanted nothing to do with him because he was a thief. However, all of that changed when he encountered Jesus. One day, Jesus was passing through the city, drawing large crowds because the people had never heard anyone teach like Jesus and had never seen anyone perform miracles like Jesus. So Zac was fascinated by the large crowd and wanted to see for himself what this miracle worker was all about. Since Zac was a short man, you can say he was a wee man, it was difficult for him to see Jesus within the crowd. So he climbed a sycamore tree to get a better view of Jesus as he walked closer. So as Jesus walked by, he saw Zac sitting in the tall tree. As he walked by, he looked at Zac and called him by his name. He said, "Zac, hurry and come down. I must stay at your house today."
No way. I imagine he was not expecting that.
Right? Zac must have wondered how Jesus knew his name. Or better yet, if Jesus knew who he was, why would Jesus want to be around someone like him?
I'm sure we can all relate. Well, the crowd wondered the same thing. They were actually upset and grumbled, wondering why Jesus would want to spend his time with this crooked thief. Zac's heart was stirred and filled with joy. He stood up and said, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of what I own to those who are poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay it back. I will pay it back four times the amount I took." You see, in that instance, we see Zac change completely. He turned from his wicked ways to give to the poor and restore all that he stole and more. Jesus came to seek those who are lost, like Zac, like us. Instead of keeping his distance because we're sinners, he draws near to us. He made a way for us to be saved and become part of God's family. Life with Jesus transforms our heart of greed and selfishness to a heart of generosity and a heart for others. Press pause and talk about this with your family. Answer this question: what are some ways you can be generous to someone this week?
Okay, we're back. Kevin, can you close us out with a word of prayer?
Father, help us to be happy with what you've given us and generous to those who are in need. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to Press Pause, the under 10-minute family worship podcast. Press Pause is brought to you by Gospel-Centered Family. The podcast devotionals were written for and adapted from Faith Builder Catechism, Devotions to Level Up Your Family Discipleship, which is Kevin, Jared, and Trey's book with New Growth Press. You can find it where books are sold. The podcast is produced and edited by Mandy Bailey. Be sure to subscribe to Press Pause in your favorite podcasting app and leave us a rating or review. Also, be sure to follow Gospel-Centered Family on X, Facebook, and Instagram, and sign up for our Substack newsletter. Join us again soon for more big truths about Jesus for your whole family.